The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, May the 2nd, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 101st episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, the Huffington Post ran a piece on books inspired by Shakespeare, including two on our current play under study, King Lear, Jane Smiley's A Thousand Acres, and Christopher Moore's Fool. The American Spectator ran a political op-ed using Shakespeare to lament the leading two candidates for president. NOLA.com ran some video from the second-line jazz funeral that a contingency from New Orleans brought to Stratford-upon-Avon during the 400th death anniversary celebrations 2 weekends ago. Cool stuff. The Minneapolis Star Tribune ran a piece on the strength of Shakespeare as a cultural touchstone, touching on the political parallels of Clinton, Trump, and Obama before looking at other legacies. Bloody Disgusting ran a piece on how the TV network A&E is looking to Shakespeare for inspiration for their upcoming horror anthology series they're calling A Midsummer's Nightmare. The episodes are said to be adaptation of Shakespeare's play, but with a contemporary horror mystery twist. Sounds like it could be interesting. HitFix ran another of its video celebrations of Shakespeare, this one with actress Maggie Grace reading Sonnet 116. The meter gets a little lost, but it is heartfelt and beautiful nonetheless. The Guardian ran a great piece on how Shakespeare speaks acutely to our age of high migration and high immigration anxiety, discussing Othello, Titus, Midsummer, Merchant, and Antony and Cleopatra. Good thoughtful stuff. The Guardian ran a piece on the publication of a new book that claims that the two-text theory of King Lear, which we've talked a little bit about on the blog last month, is incorrect. It was one text mutilated by a printer who underestimated the amount of paper needed to publish the play. The Brooklyn Paper previewed the upcoming production, The 1599 Project, at the Irondale Center in Brooklyn, New York, which will have streamlined versions of four plays, Henry V, Julius Caesar, As You Like It, and Hamlet, all done in a single evening by the same six actors running through the end of the month. WPRO reviewed The Winter's Tale by GAM Theater running through May 29th in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, calling it Shakespeare as it should be seen. A Younger Theater reviewed Shitface Shakespeare by Magnificent Bastard Productions running through June 11th in Leicester Square in London, saying the show, in which one of the acting troupe is actually drunk, is unique and jolly good fun. What's on Stage also reviewed the production, saying that for Shakespeare nerds and improv fans alike who've spent an hour in the pub beforehand, it'll work, and it's an absolute charm. The Stage checked out the show as well, saying that with no dramatic tension in its conceit, the show is deep only in drink. The Evening Standard also caught the production, saying it's entertaining, though the company could do more to highlight the dangers of alcoholism. Of course, turning the show into a PSA kind of misses the point, methinks. Fredericksburg.com reviewed William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, by Reduced Shakespeare Company, currently running at the Folger Library in Washington, D.C., calling the night of theater a merry mashup. Metro Weekly also reviewed the show running through this weekend, calling it a nonstop crowd-pleaser for Shakespeare lovers. The Georgetown Voice voiced a dissenting view, saying that this new play from the folks who brought us the complete works of Shakespeare Abridged gets caught up in its conceptually ambitious script that delivers references in lieu of a coherent narrative. The Boston Globe reviewed the new iPad app, Heuristic Shakespeare, a series of apps, really, each one focusing on a different play. The first one up is The Tempest, and with actors as great as Ian McKellen, these look to be pretty cool. The only downside I can see is that it's only for the iPad. NJ.com reviewed Pericles by Two River Theater running through the weekend in Red Bank, New Jersey, saying that the modern dress version set in a bar gets lost in the folds of its overwrought concept, resulting in a disjointed, alienating evening of theater. The Guardian reviewed Kings of War by Ove Vanhove, which just finished its run at the Barbican in London, giving it 4 out of 5-star rave and saying that his mashup of Henry V, Henry VI, and Richard III is a new Shakespearean future. And finally, the Sydney Morning Herald ran an op-ed by an Australian playwright who argues for a 5-year moratorium on Shakespeare in Australia to foster new plays by, well, you know, Australian playwrights. Don't know which direction to take my smart aleck response. Up next, the 5-year moratorium on beer so we can think up a new drink. Or the more Trumpian response, attaboy, let's kick out those limey playwriting bastards who are taking our jobs. I mean, really. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On April 26th, 1564, William Shakespeare was baptized. On April 27th, 1873, William Macready, famed English Shakespearean actor, died. One of the leading tragedians of his day, he is now better known for his feud with American actor Edwin Forrest, which caused the Astor Place riots of 1849, which is documented in the great book, The Shakespeare Riots by Nigel Cliffe. On April 28th, 1442, Edward of York was born. With support of Richard, the Kingmaker Neville, he headed the Yorkist side in the War of the Roses and took the throne from Henry VI. Twice. He appeared in the second and third parts of Henry VI, as well as in Richard III. Also on this date, 1960, the 15-part BBC production of the two history tetralogies, An Age of King, began its run in the UK, and it finished in November. On April 29th, 1429, Joan of Arc arrived at the Siege of Orléans during the Hundred Years' War between England and France. It was a turning point and the first major French victory since before Agincourt. She is depicted, not very nicely, in Henry VI, Part 1. On April 30th, 1527, Henry VIII signed the Treaty of Westminster, which ended a war between the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V and the League of Cognac, which sounds like the worst comic book villain team of all time. April the 1st is May Day, a day of springtime celebration. One of its activities, dancing around the Maypole, is featured as an insult from short gal Hermia to tall gal Helena in A Midsummer Night's Dream. On May the 2nd, 1536, Anne Boleyn was arrested for treason, as well as incest, adultery, and witchcraft against her husband Henry VIII. She was tried and convicted and was executed by beheading just over 2 weeks later. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, May the 2nd, 2016. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.